Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio series. This series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each presentation features a different national speaker or business owner sharing dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Your people are your greatest asset. When employees work at peak performance, it affects the bottom line in a very positive way. The key is knowing how to properly coach team members who will in turn increase efficiency and reduce turnover. Coaching is helping others to develop insights and actions to understand mutually understood goals. Outstanding coaches help their employees identify, develop, and grow in their present and potential strengths. This presentation is by Bruce Lee. Bruce has provided numerous presentations to this program and has extensive experience teaching company owners how to coach and retain their team members. Now sit back, relax, and prepare to pick up some pointers on how to coach your employees.
This is Bruce Lee, and welcome to Coaching and Retaining Your Talent, presented for Grandy & Associates. Now, I got to tell you, one of the things I enjoy about this particular topic is really getting clear about what coaching is and isn't, more about what to do right than what people do wrong. And I want to give a lot of good examples about why that's so important. Now, so regardless of what you do, be it as a contractor, service provider, trade, the real key to your success is with and through your people. As has been said, your people are your greatest asset. Now, of course they are. Now, your customers are your greatest asset, but if you don't do a great job with your people, you may not have the customers, because as service goes up and attitude goes up and what people see, which is behavior, might determine whether or not people stay or not, or their perception of good or bad service. But I really want to get down to the core of how to coach people by understanding what's important from the soft skill aspect, and then so what really motivates everyone, and then looking at it from the point of view of how to correct for behavior and attitude. So really what I want to talk about, this is about improving profitability, because no matter how you look at it, your profitability, while it comes from a number of directions, certainly comes from the performance level of your staff, how well they do the job, how quickly they do it, if they do it right, so there's no redos, no fixes, no callbacks, no performance issues, all those sort of things that has real impact. So a lot of it has to go to how well people feel about the job they do, putting their stamp of excellence on it, and of course a lot of that has to do with how you coach and support them. So it's true, your people are your greatest asset when it comes to your success, and it's how you treat them as that, because as you treat them as important, that certainly is the case about how that will impact people. Now, if you're following on the slides, and if you're not, I'll be reading the slides tonight, so if you are following the slides, this is about success, and what's really interesting, and it comes from a productivity point of view, that when people know that what they do matters every single day, that they're a critical part of the organization, what they bring to the organization is important, so be it ideas, strengths, skills, that productivity in an organization can go up to 40%. Now, at the end of this presentation, I want to show you how it can go up even higher, because when people really work from their strengths, the productivity increase when it comes to from simple tasks to complicated tasks is huge. And, of course, the reality is coaching is helping people figure out what their strengths are and then building on that. But I really want to show you a tool that's available for that. So this is about coaching and retaining. It's about moving people from good to great. And how you do that is about planning, how to deal with people, certainly about your organization, about how they're organized, and about people skills. So the objective is really to understand how to effectively reach and connect with people to improve their results. So three objectives for this presentation in the 35 minutes we're going to be listening together is how to encourage employees to improve. You know, I've said change the viewing, change the doing, so have them change the viewing about how they do will change the doing, and certainly you change the viewing of how you see them is going to change the impact as well. Second would be understanding specifics on how to help employees solve problems with solutions in their control. I'm going to support that in another minute. And thirdly is understand what really motivates people, which is a great question. So things to consider during this presentation is how how the outcome of this information can help you improve your performance. Now, it's also about helping you improve others' performance, so the two go hand in hand, because certainly when you learn a good idea, that certainly you're going to hopefully model that. Second thing is how to increase job satisfaction by how you motivate and coach and support people is a key idea, which is going to increase your job satisfaction, because if you are a supervisor, manager, owner, you know, certainly your results come from how well your people do the job, and the satisfaction is a key part of that. And lastly, this all goes to customer satisfaction. Now, at the end of the presentation, there's a list of additional resources I love to make available to anyone on how to improve results. I'm going to specifically talk to two about people, well, three about people skills, but also I have some articles that are available, be it on, you know, how to remember names, conflict resolution, employee incentives, things like that. So just a number of good resources I think you might find of interest. So especially the one on how to coach, how to measure, how to be coaching. So the question is, what difference would you see if your people were totally accountable, organized, and clear about their roles and responsibilities, i.e. taking ownership? What difference would you see if the processes were well organized, consistent, and efficient? And of course, part of that comes from how you get people to say, well, what's wrong? How are we organized or not organized to prevent you from doing your job better? So how can we make things more efficient? So understanding that. And if your workplace had optimism and momentum instead of conflict, politics, and gossip, which of course is what negative people do, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. So three key ideas I want to get into different sections. Number one, first of all, is about how to retain your talent, or the new term that's coming back again is about how to retain your bench strength. And the reality, this is all about how to improve their, number one, enthusiasm for the work they do and how well they do it. And secondly, their behavior. So when it's, especially when things are going wrong for them, so how to and then by default, you saw how to turn that around. And lastly, it's about how to make, how to move their careers along to improve productivity by them taking ownership of problems and, more importantly, about opportunities. So look at the bad side of this first. There's the problem employee, and there are really are some key issues that go with it. Let's talk about the anti-management attitude one. First of all, it's always somebody else's fault, i.e. management's fault. And they're the ones, when things aren't going right, say things they've heard, rumors, and innuendo, gossip, whatever you want to call it. Well, how you solve that problem is, first of all, put them in some cross-training so they can see past their particular career. Expose them to reality of what other people do, how they do their jobs. Share information, everything you know, with them so they feel like the insider. That's going to help take care of that. Because if you don't share your knowledge with them, they're going to share theirs. And, of course, we know from results that's not correct. Moving up to the antisocial, those sort of people who won't work with others. And the fact is, some people who just are not people and shouldn't work with people, and they're just there for the wrong reason. They won't delegate, they won't share the knowledge or help others. And really, that's a lot of cases, that's a matter of low self-esteem. Certainly poor communication, and that's what a lot of this content is going to be about, is how to bring that out. Then we get to the fault finder. They're always negative, nothing's ever right, won't find solutions, never celebrate success. Now, in conflict resolution, they're called the no people, and they're really an asset because they know what's wrong. That's how you look at it, change of view and change of doing. So if they're bringing something that's wrong, they may know the solution. And, of course, your job to coach them to find the solution. And, of course, that's what we want to do with that. So, you know, ask them why there's a problem, get focused on the problem, work toward the solution, have them come back with a solution. Don't fix things for them if they've identified the problem. You know, help them fix it so they take some credit for it to create, help them become a champion, an advocate of change. And then lastly, there's a time waster. I don't know if you ever watch, look at the cartoon Dilbert. Wally certainly is the huge example of being a time waster. But this sort of person who, you know, not too concerned about their job, last into work, first out at lunch, always walking around coffee in hand, talking to people, waste others' times, and they'll waste as much time as you let them waste. Of course, time management, of course, would go well for that. So what you want to do is put the spotlight on them about performance and understanding that if you don't do something about that, they will have a negative impact on other people. So you don't fix it, you're going to have more problems with that. So just have them get some clear on that. Now, but let's talk about some positive things. First of all, I want to talk about a great workplace. And, of course, you want to have people who look forward to coming to work. So workplace culture, and culture is kind of how, you know, the definition of culture I like is It's how employees do the job when the boss is not around. So a workplace culture of inspired leadership, which is about credibility for the tasks, the projects, the services, the people, respect for you regardless of age, color, sex, creed, religion, what you do, length of term with the company. There should be growth opportunities, and of course that's part of the onboarding and hiring process. People want to be known for working with a company that has the management of products and services, quality resources, fairness for people, consistency, which I'll be talking about a little bit later on, certainly pride in the company and what they do and how they do it, and above all, the camaraderie of friends. And most importantly, and the real key issue I just want to talk on very quickly is about trust, because trust is a huge issue. And I think over the past couple of years, there have been three or four books published about trust. One book I have is called Trust and Betrayal in the Workplace, and the byline to it is Building Effective Relationships in Your Organization, and I like that. But the one that's got the most press the past little while is Stephen Covey Jr.'s book called The Speed of Trust, and the byline with that is The One Thing That Changes Everything. And the reason trust is important, if people don't trust you, how can you coach them? If they don't trust, they're not going to stay. So this is a key issue. So what does trust look like? Well, we're going to talk about that. But it's about being upfront, and you know what trust looks like because you've probably worked or have worked with people or organizations you don't trust, and it has a huge impact. If you've ever walked out of some store and said, wow, that was great, I'm going to go back and spend all my money there, well, trust is a key issue of that, and there's a lot of other things that tie in with that. The reason trust is so important is trust is more important than vision. Now, I always say vision is one of the most important things you need to have, because that's why people buy in. But if they don't have trust, they're not going to buy in. Trust is more important than strategy. Trust is more important than systems and structures, all the work you've put in place to make the organization flow efficiently. And trust is more important than skills. So the bottom line, the reason trust is so important when it comes to coaching and retaining your talent, is trust improves speed and performance while increasing productivity. So it's a really key issue. Now, big picture, this is about what I like to say is understanding that when you coach people, you can actually coach them past where you are. And of course, that's your objective, is to make them better than what you have. You know, depending on your role in the company when it comes to training people, is all they need to know is everything you need to know, and then take that to the next level. So the reality is their future is bigger than your past, and creating these new expectations for them breeds new choices in how they do the job, how well they do the job, which gets into all those other issues about productivity and trust. Now, three signs of a miserable job is anonymity, people not knowing everybody. Second thing is about irrelevance, people not understanding why other people work is more important. And we've all worked in an organization where that's been the case. And the last thing is about ear measurement. If I'm saying that word right, where there's not a way of measuring a person's productivity and results as compared to what they should be doing. So this is the key objective. Now, getting into setting high expectations, first of all, it's understanding this is about influence and about how you influence people, which is the soft skills, which is a lot of what this presentation is about. So if you want to be a leader, you need to influence people to act. It's how you do that. Well, one of the key things to doing that is about enthusiasm. What I like about enthusiasm, the Greek definition of enthusiasm was enthusiasmus, which meant God possessed or God in you. And when the Greeks 2,000 years ago called you enthusiastic, it was the highest compliment they paid anybody. So the question is, are you enthusiastic about what you do and how you do it and the people that you work with and the clients you serve and understanding you are making a difference for them? You, the company, the people are solving somebody's problem. You are the solution to the problem, and seeing it that way. Now, that, of course, just comes from really good customer service orientation about understanding the importance behind that. Well, coaching is the driver behind that. And lastly, it's about understanding that as a manager, you don't really manage people. Certainly there's the people skills, but you really manage their behavior, how people do things, which is what people see, which kind of gets to character, gets to reputation, which gets to trust. So understanding it's about managing people's behavior or shifting behavior to improving productivity. Now, so it's really going back to the old adage, it's not what you say, it's how you say it, how it can have a huge impact. How it's going to have a huge impact. I have an acronym called SAM, and SAM to me is how to solve an issue with a person. Now, it's prior to having an issue with a person, but it's how to support a person. So be it for retention, certainly coaching. The SAM part is the soft skill aspect of what I want to get into for the first part of what I want to get into on the two steps for coaching. So the S for SAM is about setting high expectations. And what has been found is that high achievement always takes place in the framework of high expectations. When somebody comes in, a new hire, that's the best time to set the high expectation about how well they can do a job, the efficiency, the timeliness, be it of the service, getting to the client, phoning them, follow-up, quality of the work, just the total expectations of what is expected by you, the company, the customer, and certainly the reputation that goes with the company. So what are the expectations? What is the history behind what the organization is known for is a huge issue. So creating high expectations. Now, the best example I have of high expectations is General Norman Schwarzkopf. And back in early on in his military career, when he's put in charge of a particular base, the helicopter unit within the base, the ready rate for the helicopter unit was 75%. What that meant was if there were 100 helicopters in the fleet, at any point in time, there were 75 helicopters available for immediate use. As he's settling into his command, checking the record books, he's finding that for the past year or so, the logbook, the record book for the ready rate for the fleet is 75%. Every single report, 75%. Thinking something's up, deciding to check with the head of maintenance as to why it's always 75%, when asked why, was told previous commander set it at 75%. So he said, great, effective, tomorrow it's 85%. Now the question I'd ask you, what do you think the next ready rate report came in at? Shout the answer out, it is right, 85%. So how can you get a 15%, 13.5% increase in productivity just like that? Ask for it. So in his particular case, if people love what they do, like their job, understand the importance about having that equipment ready to use, ready for immediate use, people will do what is expected. So that's where all the soft skills comes in. Well, that's the key, the first part of it. The second part about SAM is about appreciation. And this is really, really, really key. I have a quote there from Mary Kay Ash. What it's really saying is, what she said was, pretend that every single person you meet has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel important. Now, the most important part of this is, what she said was, not only will you succeed in sales, you'll succeed in life. I want you to think about that. When we give appreciation, when we give proper recognition and acknowledgement, people, not only do they expect it, they appreciate it. It's a validation for what they have done. So it's a really important issue to support where they are going next by acknowledging the work they've done first. Now, I really like the part that says, not only will you succeed in sales, yeah, make people feel important. And they're going to act that way, that they are important to you. And of course, the life part is a key part of that, too. So appreciation is a key factor. And the third part about SAM is about making a difference. And what I like about this is if you want to have a profound impact on somebody's life, treat them as if they were what you want them to be, as if they are it now. And as the quote from Johan van Gogh says, treat people as if they were what they should be, and you help them become what they're capable of becoming. Now, obviously, that means that much sooner because you're helping them see their future, helping them set a vision for what they can grow into, help to move their career ahead. So be it the task they're about to do, regardless of what it is, that they can do it. And that's where the coaching comes in because you really can make that difference. So this is really about empowerment. The definition I like for empowerment, and you may have heard this, is seeing the best in others, helping them see it in themselves, and holding them accountable. That's what coaching is all about empowerment, and what's driving that is SAM. So in other words, organizations that support self-esteem, people feeling good about what they do, pride in the organization, pride in the product and services, is really an organization that makes money. There is a measurable return on empowerment. Now, the other thing that helps drive this is if you have passion for what you do, is going to go a long ways. Combine passion with enthusiasm, people will get it. Now, just a quick FYI, I do a workshop called Working Across the Generations, and it's always interesting because there's this perception that some of the generations don't get along. And, of course, not everyone gets along if there is isn't a proper culture maintained. And what I like to say is what really comes down to this is that really almost every expectation expects the same in how they want to be treated. They have different expectations of the workplace, the work day, the hours, things like that, compensation, benefits. But they all want to be treated with respect and everything I've talked about and about to talk about. I hope you find that of interest. Now, so second part. So that's kind of the soft skill. The second part is, this is how to coach and move people forward. And one of the problems when it gets to really how to unlock potential is understanding that coaching is not something that's done to people, but it's about helping them unlock their potential to become better. Now, a lot of it's obviously done through communication skills, which is what the last 15 minutes of this presentation is going to be about. Now, the reason people have problems, and if you think about it, this kind of makes sense, that they don't know why they're doing things, they haven't been told properly. I always used to tell our new hires, make sure you ask why you're being asked to do an assignment. What's the real end result? Because sometimes what people are told to do isn't what they were meant to do. What specifically was being thought about as the end result wasn't communicated clearly, which also gets into they don't know the how because they haven't done it before. They don't know your version of it. They certainly don't know the what because they didn't get clear on all the objectives were, how they were empowered to do it, or maybe it's been so long they've forgotten how to get started, how to do it. Which often happens. You know, we learn some new skills earlier on in our career, and then we kind of forget them as we go along. That's so true. Now, what other else causes problems is they think they have a better way, and they're not going to do your way, what they heard. So you need to work with them as to what their idea is, which is where you get to the negative no people and then help to bring that out. Well, they don't like your way, they don't like how it's been done, and I've seen time and time again where somebody with little skill has come into a new position and go, why don't we do it this way instead of this way, and it's been at least 100% more effective, so twice as fast, if you want to call it that. Or they have other priorities about who they're going to serve, job, task, destination, whatever it might be, and the reason they want to start yours is because of that priority issue, which then causes stress when there's too many bosses, too many things to do, so just causes some huge, huge issues. Other challenges are there's no reward. They're just being expected to do it. It's not how they're taught about it, which could get to the SAM part of it. They're not rewarded for doing it. There's no end result for being for doing it, and especially doing it well. Or they're afraid to do it because they haven't been given all the details, don't know how to start, don't know when to start. You know, fear of failure is a huge issue. They understand the mistakes are not punished, which is an interesting way of looking at it, so why do it? Then you get bad, just a bad reputation. Well, that's where that's going. Barriers exist that are beyond their control, which is why the coaching is a huge issue behind all this, to understanding what the barriers are, what's stopping them from proceeding and stopping them from succeeding. So you need to really get clear about how they're going to get things, first step, second step, end result. It's not telling them how to do it. It's about we're coaching them through, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. They also have personal problems that may prevent them from doing the task, so that's why it's important to know what's going on for them, be it home, family, financial issues that may be causing a problem, and there's a whole bunch of those, which is why you need to really know them well. They have an attitude of it's impossible, hasn't been done before, we've never tried it, nor before, which is a common problem. And the last thing, they go, that's not my job. So a lot of challenges about why people don't start. And that's why coaching is such a huge issue to get people to increase our productivity. So this, I can say, this is about also about coaching, you coaching people, but I want to think about this, about being self-coaching you on you. So the benefit to this particular recording is understanding that about how to move you ahead in addition to other people. So coaching you is a key part of this. So a coach helps others to develop insights and actions to achieve mutually understood goals. Now, something like 60% of Fortune 500 CEOs have coaches. And the reason they have coaches is so they hear truth, what's really going on from the coach, that they don't get from other employees. It's how to learn how to handle criticism when things go wrong. It's about how to make difficult decisions. So instead of going from lose-lose, bad decision, it goes to win-win. So just understanding that's an important issue. Coaches help you identify, develop, and grow your present and potential strengths. Now, I'm using you instead of there, but it's really about you figuring out what you're good at, which is why two of the self-tests at the end can be a really key tools for you. It's about setting goals, setting goals are an important part. Now, when it comes to time management, I always add in a section on goals, because then goals help you to figure out why you're working so hard. Let me just put the trick question there is, you know, 5 years from now, if you don't set any goals, how much older will you be? Well, the answer is 5 years older. But if you set goals about what you want to be doing, where you want to be living, size of a house, asset accumulation, debt reduction, whatever it might be, if you set those goals 5 years from now, you're still going to be 5 years older, but you can have a lot more success. That's why goals are so important. So coaching is about setting impossible goals and understanding those really do inspire. So successful coach behaviors, what you would do, is about how people set goals and establish performance standards, about how they're going to do it, how are they going to do it, what the resources are. It's really about helping you see people get the best from them, every single person you work with. So how they can do better, how they can excel at what they do, either working with people, product, services, installations, repairs, or people. It's about empowering them with a sense of purpose, understanding what they stand for, what the company stands for, why it's so important, about the quality and timeliness, all those issues that are important, about what they are really there to do. The coach inspires and motivates, which is important. So when you inspire, it's inspirational, and the motivate gives people a motive to do something. So it's a really key part about how you make people feel about themselves. You certainly model enthusiasm. It's not the rah-rah, you're doing a great job, Ron. You know, it's people have built-in skunk characters, but it's really about showing the optimism about what people can do and what they will do and what's going to happen next meeting. So it's certainly about believing in people and acting on them and acting as if they are going to accomplish it. You know, certainly the expectation is high. And it's about unlocking their passion to create the goal to excel. So, you know, how to get the best out of people. So that's kind of your behavior, the driving behind it. So let's talk about a specific challenge here. So I like to call it price, and I think you've probably heard this before. But price is really about, you know, recognizing the problem if there is a problem. So, for example, if a person is late, pinpoint what is going on. You know, really need to get clear, why are you always late? Is it traffic time, family issues, car problems? Really unclear about when you need to turn up before you take the truck out, whatever it might be. So just understanding, pinpoint what's going on. So record everything you talk about, all the details, so there can be no misconception, miscommunication, misunderstanding later about what's that. And you might want to include observations from what other people have said and let them know that what other people say is having an impact on your opinion of them as well. You need to involve your people when it comes to getting clear with the problem. That just means talk to them about them and really getting clear that communication, how you work with somebody, is 100% you being accountable for getting the question clear in the other person's mind and getting a comprehensive understanding answer back. It's not 50-50. It's, well, I asked the question, that's the answer. It's getting real clear on that. It's about clearly identifying the consequences of the inaction. So state, you know, the desired changes, the results, if nothing happens, and it's about evaluating the result of whatever fix you put in place. In other words, did it work? So just understanding what the price is a great way of getting into the coaching session. So 8 steps to coaching. Number one is understanding it's really about total support of the person. So flexibility of responsibility for tasks, understanding what sort of compromise is available. It's about the feeling of empathy, treating employees' feelings as important. It's about whatever resources they're going to need that you are going to help them find or help provide. It's about the sense of contribution, giving them recognition about how well they're going to do toward that to build self-esteem. It's about setting goals for what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, so they know what they need to do so they stay in alignment. It's about giving them full attention, you know, looking them in the eye, not taking phone calls, not finishing emails, but giving them your full attention while they're there, you know, not having other people call and interrupt. So they are important because they are a great asset. Certainly about the feedback is a key issue, positive and minus, about how things are doing, success, roadblocks, credit for past achievements is going to help drive that. Certainly about creating the expected outcomes of what the project will be like, how it will successfully be done. It's about sharing information, helping them share the information, their important part about it. It's about being gentle in the approach to them, not being too harsh, you know, the supporting, coaching voice, because how you say things is a key issue, about creating responsibility, and above all, it's about creating trust and showing trust in them that it will happen. So step number two, before I get to that, I like putting in this information about Tommy Lasorda, a fairly successful baseball coach, a couple of World Series trophies, and I think he got the first gold medal when baseball was introduced to the Olympics back in 80, something like that. But I like the quote. This really sums up personal coaching for me as to a great way to look at you and your people. What the slide, if you're not following along the slides, what it says is you've got to keep talking to your people. You've got to keep believing in them. You must be a confidence builder. I try to refrain from using words like can't, won't, I don't know, maybe. Because I want them to say I can, I will, I must, I shall, I know. You have to always try to do everything you can to help them maintain their confidence level. Put positive pictures in the minds of your staff. Your attitude is critical, which just supports a lot of things I've just said so far. So appreciate that quote. So step number two, coaching step number two, is really identifying the big picture from all angles. So to create a mutually understood picture of what's happening. So gently reprimand as to what happened. Don't start off with an accusational tone. That's going to create instant defense, which you don't want. So ask for clarity. So the communication is key issue here. Be specific as to what you say when identifying the big picture. So state concerns in a specific, non-hostile way. Offer observations and insights so they get to take ownership of it. You also may have contributed to the problem by not getting clear when they start off with. So just understanding where the initial challenge came from. So understanding that people will make excuses, which are normal, dig past that, you know, or ignore them. So depending on how you handle that, so go beyond that. Reconfirm what you do know, certainly what you want. Make sure the information you have is accurate as to what's happened, what the expectation is. What's really important is about setting expectations, what you want them to do, what you want them to start doing, or do differently. Whether you need to get some skills, some additional training, some additional resources. So it could be understanding, you know, really about customer expectations, values, certainly encouraging creativity, and certainly encouraging risk-taking with no penalty. Certainly the risk would be for doing something new and innovative. And by the way, just one issue at a time when you are dealing with a person, so you don't confuse, don't overload them with issues. Step number three. Determine the impact of behavior and attitude. So understanding why they need to consider revising their action and or approach how they do things. So they really need to dig out and develop, looking at the negative impact of what they're doing or not doing, their actions on their goals, certainly the company's goals, the department's goals, and their co-workers. So really they identify the big picture of what's happening as a result of what they are doing or not doing. And you can break it down into both. Look at it, their results, what you want them to do on a cost-benefit analysis ratio. So what is the best use of setting new goals, objectives, intentions, whatever you might want to look at it. So what is it costing? What is it going to be the benefit if they do it? What's going to be the revenue? What's it going to be the cost reduction? So being clear on all those steps, help them figure out the action steps along the way. You know, you can help set the action steps along the way, but really help them figure out what they need to do first thing, second thing, next week, next month, what it's going to look like, completion report, whatever it might be. And then just really help focus in on the picture of all the people that are the resources that are going to be involved in it. So the organization, company, department, resources being money, time, equipment, and of course other people. Coaching step number four. This is the most important part. Is help them create the plan. So once you've identified the challenge, the problem, what's wrong, what needs to be corrected, where you want to go, start really clearing how are they going to get there. Not telling them how to get there, but really help identifying the steps along the way. So help them create it. Don't give them every single step of the way. Now you might want to start off with step one today, and then you know identify all the things along the way that are going to help them get there. People, time, issues, whatever it might be. Look at yourself as being the partner with them, collaborating on it. So it's maybe it's shifting from behind the desk to beside the desk, beside them. So it's you and me together on this as compared to you versus me. Whatever they come up with needs to be really clear, specific, feasible, simple. So measurable SMART goals, if you want to use that acronym as well. So goals and actions are set as to when they're going to happen. So proper timeline. So the when, where, what, who, how much, and the measure for it is a real key issue. So coaching step number four is probably the most important one behind that. Coaching step number five is about a sense of commitment. Do I have your word on it? You know, the key way of looking at it. So this is about, it's really about the follow through. So help them verbalize their commitment to that. You know, you need to hear them say that. And of course, how well they say that. You know, if they get that enthusiasm for it or that dogged determination, that's okay too. And start now. So Bruce, when you leave, what's the first thing you're going to do? You know, it might be, can you send me a report on it? You know, just something real simple to get that. And then obviously the follow-up part would be, and where we're going to meet, when, set the date for the follow-up, and what the expectation is, what will be done by that. So ask commitment questions, which simple things like, what's going to stop you from beginning? You know, really clear on that, and whatever might come up that you made notes as you've been talking with the person. And really getting clear, do they have a motivation to change? The what's in it for them is a key issue. is a key issue, WIFM. So that would become their motivation to change. Step number six, just understanding that just getting started, taking that first step is a key issue. Kind of, you know, that movie, What About Bob? You know, little tiny baby steps, just getting started. So no excuses, look at future obligations, focus on activity. Now, this is where time management becomes a key issue. So if you've had some training in time management, look at what their schedule, what their calendar is, you know, what the tasks they're doing that may stop them from getting it started because they've got too many other things to do. So you might have to, you know, clear the roadblock for them, you know, get permission to not do certain things so they can get the task done, you know, obviously the most important item relating to, usually relating to revenue is the key issue here. So that'll come in handy. And look at the constructive change as to what's going to happen along the way. So focus on what can be done, not why things won't work. And they need to know the outcome of their lack of action or their change of attitude, which is what the next step is. So coaching step number seven is the consequence of the inaction. This is a key issue here too, so which deals with how strong is their commitment to it. So check the resolve to complete the task, state the positive consequences if the steps missed, actions missed, promises are missed, and identify the lost opportunities. Now, certainly those that would happen if the action cannot be taken or if changes didn't happen, lost opportunities for them, the company, personal growth, advancement, whatever it might be. And of course, as you're talking to them, you're making all sorts of notes that come out about what they say about as they're talking that can be part of these individual steps. And the last one, this is an interesting one. It says, when you give up, usually it's longer than the employee thinks you're going to hang in there, because if you have made this investment in this person, you know, over the past, to be it 3 months or 3 years, you don't want to throw away that investment. You want to fine tune it. So they start creating the results. They are capable of creating, stepping up to the potential, their career potential that they or you promised them in the future. So once you've asked for the commitment, move ahead and create that success for them. So with that, I want to start wrapping up. A couple of interesting ideas here. There's a book out, Michael Booth, called The Greatest Management Principle. And I was like saying, well, does that have anything to do with coaching and retaining people? Well, yeah, it goes back to something that I talked about 20 minutes ago. The greatest management principle, according to Michael Booth, is things that get recognized and rewarded get repeated. If you think about that, the more recognition and acknowledgement we get, which is the reward, it happens. It'll certainly get repeated. You know, recognize good behavior, what do you get? More of it. Don't do anything about bad behavior, what do you get? Well, more of it. Now, I like to take it one step further when it comes to coaching people is to reward creativity, because if you want to get an organization excited, do something different, do something special. Understand that, you know, let them use their creativity to get things noticeable that people will start talking about.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each presentation. Please feel free to give us a call with your comments. The Small Business University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, please give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Or check out our website, www.grandyassociates.com. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.